This is the Engines of Our Ingenuity, made possible by the friends of KUHF Houston.
Today, a world opens up. The University of Houston's College of Engineering presents this series about the machines that make our civilization run and the people whose ingenuity created them. If you're of a certain age, you'll remember the popular song, Faraway Places with Strange-Sounding Names. My favorite version was Dinah Shore's. One passage went like this.
Go into China, or maybe Siam. I wanna see for myself those faraway places I've been reading about in a book I took from the shelf.
That was 1948. World War II had just ended. Our soldiers had once read about such places in books. Now they were back from faraway places that they'd actually seen. The world was changing. It was shrinking. Now you and I no longer reach for a book on our shelf to learn about those places. We open Google Earth or Wikipedia, but the other day I did pick a book from the shelf. It was George Hartwig's 1874 tome with the title The Polar and Tropical Worlds, a description of man and nature in the polar and equatorial regions of the globe. He calls it two volumes in one, and at 800 pages, that's no idle boast. Hartwig was one of a prevalent 19th-century breed, the voluminous writer of books on faraway places. Your great-grandparents didn't have Wikipedia or the National Geographic show on TV. Instead, they read this vast literature on wonders of other lands, dancing with exotic steel plate engravings. A quick browse of the Internet reveals more of Hartwig's books, ones on the subterranean world, volcanoes and earthquakes, the sea and its living wonders. My book is amazing in its sweep, in the unfolding of heroic journeys by 19th-century adventurers who gathered all this material. We meet the Chukchi tribes of the eastern tip of Siberia. We stay in a fur trader's cabin on Hudson's Bay. We go walrus hunting with the Inuits. We read of creatures in the Amazon jungles and the peoples of Tierra del Fuego. We climb the Andes and we meet the African weaver bird. In our minds, of course, Darwin's Origin of Species lurks behind all this. It came out 15 years before, but it makes no dent here. Hartwig mentions Darwin only for his climb of Mount Tarn in southern Chile. He mentions Captain Fitzroy of Darwin's ship, the Beagle, for his survey of Patagonia. That's it. I wonder if Hartwig was aware that Fitzroy became an unbalanced opponent of Darwin's work and that he finally committed suicide. Perhaps, but that sort of thing had no place here. This was dessert for the brain, in the same way the Discovery Channel is today. This was food for our dreams in a time when those places lay so much further from our doorstep than they do today. It was a world most of us could only read about.
In a book I took from the shelf.
I'm John Leinhardt at the University of Houston, where we're interested in the way inventive minds work.